Welcome to Pep Talks. Eddie Pepitone here with Steve Lally. And folks, off we go into the wild blue yonder. Off we go into mind thought. We are going to be navigating our own consciousness, and hopefully your consciousness will come to. We're on Facebook Live. And if those of you not watching on Facebook Live, you will hear this. That's Steve Lally laughing at me, fumbling.
Facebook. You accidentally called it Facebook.
It is Facebook. It is. But so anyway, what's going on, Steve?
When asked about last week's Grievous Lab accident, Susie said, "I'm doing the best I can." Hi, everybody. Good to be here.
Yes.
In one piece.
So anyway, we have a couple of new segments on the show, and one of them is a lovely little segment where we have asked people to call in and give us voicemail. And we have three voicemails to do. Great. I have to get my other phone.
Shit.
We have to do three voicemails.
We got three?
We got three. Hold on. You talk to the
people. Yeah, well, last week we only had one. We only had one voicemail last week, ladies and gentlemen. And I think Eddie gave that gentleman the best advice he possibly could, which is to always be prepared during your podcast. Don't have your phone somewhere where it's... is Donald Trump a hack? Is Donald Trump the material hack? And Eddie answered that so eloquently, and then I fumbled around and patronized the guy. But he was satisfied with the answer he got, and now we have three. So next week we're going to have nine. Is that how this is going to go? Oh, no, next week we're going to have six. This is why I didn't finish school.
This is so unprofessional of me. I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry that I left you with Steve. Really, that's the big thing. Lally, I mean, yeah, I was listening to how he was killing time, and it wasn't good.
No, and you should never make me do that, ever.
It wasn't good. All right, so let's go to the voicemails. Let's start that. I'm going to play the first one. Okay.
I don't know what I just listened to, this podcast kind of thing. In my day, a joke had a beginning, a middle, and then an end. And in the end, you laugh. It's too serious. I don't know anymore.
Now, that's an old school gentleman,
yeah.
You know, who wants an hour-long podcast.
Of Jackie Mason jokes.
No, he wants an hour-long podcast to have a beginning,
uh-huh,
and then a middle, and an end. He wants an hour-long joke, I think.
Good luck, buddy.
He's just old school.
Yeah.
That was an old school guy. That's like a guy you see at the back of Carnegie Deli, which I don't think exists anymore in New York
really?
City.
It's gone.
I'm pretty sure that Carnegie Deli's been gone for a long time. Let's listen to another one, another call. Here we go. All right.
Eddie, you're reaching a younger audience.
Here we go.
Eddie, how are you? My name is Josh. I'm calling from New York. And I was wondering, what are your thoughts on artificial intelligence, Elon Musk, and when are you coming to do a show in New York, New York City? Okay, buddy. Hope you're well. Take care.
Thank you, Josh. What are our thoughts on artificial intelligence and Elon Musk? Well, I was reading Chris Hedges' article, and he said Elon Musk is one of these billionaires, and he is a billionaire. And my thoughts on Musk is that, is he that progressive? Is he that progressive? I don't think so.
No, and
he's not fighting for workers. There's been things in his plants where people tried to unionize. I think the hours they work are crazy hours, and he's one of these guys. Hedges wrote an article about these billionaires calling for a basic wage for everybody, and it looks like they're progressive because they're saying people should have a basic income, but.
What is he really saying?
Well, what he's really saying is that these billionaires know that because of deindustrialization, That is all these companies taking their corporations overseas, and just the United States doesn't manufacture much anymore. And also automation, which is AI, which Josh brought up. You know, so many jobs are being lost to automation. Do you know that?
Okay, so but what's the conspiratorial angle with the AI and the jobs leaving and Elon Musk and the basic wage?
There's
how
no
does
conspiratorial
that all...
angle.
Well, they've got some...
I hate that word, conspiracy.
Why? People...
Well, because I don't think it's... because I think conspiracy always...
It's a bad word.
No, it just lends like, ooh, you know, this cabal. I mean, they're just people acting in their own interests, these billionaires.
Well,
you know
secretly
I mean?
Behind our back. I mean, what I'm asking is the basic wage thing, is that some diabolical... thing that they have a plan for, you know, some think tank plan for, you know. I don't...
Are you one of those guys who likes to, like, talk about diabolicism?
I just like the word.
like everything is diabolical. And I just think these guys are too stupid to be diabolical. You
really?
Know what I mean? No, yeah.
I don't know. When you have that much money and you have that much free time, I think...
Well, apparently Elon Musk is, you know, a lot of these guys don't have free time because they're so hooked into their crazy, you know, Elon Musk works like incredibly long hours. And I mean, there is a part of Elon Musk, you know, that I do like, which is, you know, this kind of reaching for the stars type of thing he wants to. I mean, to me, it is amazing ambition to want to colonize Mars.
Right.
I mean, I always find it to be a ridiculous thing. Oh, let's colonize Mars while our planet has gone to complete and utter shit.
Or let's give people a car that drives itself. That's the big fucking... That's the big Musk technology, the car that
is
drives
that
itself. Yeah, that's
the driverless car. Is
yeah,
him.
Man, that's him.
Yeah, and but AI intelligence is taking away a lot of jobs. And then there's of course, you know, Steve's the diabolical thing about AI. I mean, everybody, all the science fiction writers have written about machines.
How?
Yeah, machines getting smarter than us, right? Or I mean, they are already, but
well, having their own consciousness.
Now that is a wild.
Its own consciousness.
That is a wild thought. That is a wild thought. Machines having their own consciousness. You know. You know what would be funny is if you went to a meditation center and it was just machines, and it was no, just machines, and they were just there, and you just heard a low hum, and they were just meditating.
They were on sleep mode, kind of like a.
No, they're trying to empty, because all they do is think, these AI machines. And you know what the purpose of meditation is, to divorce yourself of thinking,
right.
You know, which I've been very lucky that I'm not a thoughtful guy. No, but you want to be thoughtless,
no,
but not in that bad
I
way.
Don't agree. I meditate and I completely disagree with that. I think that meditation, at best, it slows things down in a way where you can grab onto a thought and make sense of something that was riddling you and vexing you, and it was something seemed so complicated, but because things are moving so fast in your mind, you can't figure it out, and then you slow it down and it becomes like easy to figure out. That has been my experience with deep breathing and meditation, anyway, to kill the joke.
No, yeah, but yeah, thanks a lot, but No, I think meditation, I think it would be funny if AI machines were meditating. AI intelligence will, you know, that's the one thing that it is doing that is bad, is that it's taking, I mean, what are people, you know, particularly blue collar people, if you're not writing code, if you're not in Silicon Valley, you know, there are so many jobs being lost to automation. So, you know, Musk is one of these billionaires like Zuckerberg. I forget who else, but they're calling for a basic income. And so they seem progressive, but they know that there's going to be nobody to buy their products unless there is a basic
income. Let me ask you a question. Didn't Bill Gates seem progressive to everybody in the 90s? Didn't he seem progressive? He was.
Yeah.
Didn't Alan Greenspan seem like he was helping the economy in the 90s? Everybody loved these people. And then some time goes by and you go, oh, it's like, you know, like a Marvel villain, you know, And so I'm wondering, I see right through the
Well, it's capitalism out of control. I mean, the reason why we do need some socialism, meaning we need a government that looks out for people's interests, but all it is this greed and this accumulation of super wealth, and everything is out of balance, and everything has been made into a commodity. You know, the earth itself, the nature itself, has been made into a commodity, and nowhere more prevalent than the block I live in, live on, and just where everything is like a loud beep. Like I was thinking, I was living in a horror movie recently with the loud beeping and the garbage being picked up, and they keep demolishing buildings, and they're building high rises. It's more. This is what's going on in my neighborhood. Like, they're building high rises all over the place, and there's empty apartments next to me. It's like there's all these developers. They just want to raise rents. This is happening in L.A., and rents are going up. Rents are going up in every city, and it's like they can't get enough money. There's no cap on their greed, and it's almost like the movie Wall Street, where it's like greed is good. Greed is good, and like, you know, we have the biggest, you know, the imbecile billionaire in office. He's really an imbecile, like the imbecile billionaire. That's the character, you know?
You know, there's this formula in these superhero movies and these fantasy movies now where there's two villains. And there's the goony, goofy villain, like the one who's obviously a villain. And then there's the polished, erudite villain behind him. So, you know, in Black Panther, for instance, you know, the steroid guy gets wiped out. And then there's
see Black Panther.
Well, in every Marvel movie they have this Iron Man, Iron Man 2. Anyway... Trump is like the first villain who, you know, he's the villain, and then he's going to get wiped out. And then there's Adam Schiff and all these fucking...
Who is Adam Schiff again?
He's like the Democratic, you know, he's like fight for trans bathrooms and, but, you know, fuck the poor.
Fuck the poor.
But more war and fuck bathrooms. The poor, but we're going to protect the fragile and delicate sensibilities of strong women.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, Trump is going to be gone. Trump is going to be gone soon. He's not going to be there forever. What's the fucking
And by the
plan?
Way, I just want to say this too, because me and Steve have been talking a lot about politics, and I don't know if it's turning people off. No, I'm serious, because people, when they come to podcasts, I don't know if they want, you know, we're getting fucked, you know. I think they also want to know about love, you know. And love is definitely the answer. But we live in a cruel world. So do you meet that cruelty with more love? Do you know what I mean? And it's kind of a platitude what I'm saying, but I was just realizing that, you know, because I lately have been getting stripped bare. And what I mean by that is that life has been beating me up. I alluded to it just a little while ago. Where I live, like, there's a constant onslaught of noise, and I really can't do much about it except move. And I was telling Steve before the podcast, but we have so much stuff, me and my wife, not to brag, I have that kind of lifestyle. We have all kinds of stuff and so many books, and I was just thinking moving would be such a hassle, and all the animals, and what life does to you is that it beats you down to the point where you have to let go of your ego. You have to let go of thinking that you're this great, all-powerful person. And to tie it into the billionaires, I don't know if that happens to them. I mean, everybody has personal tragedy, but I think if you're a billionaire, you kind of, and you're an idiot, you can kind of like slough over or smooth over, you know, anything personal by just lashing out at people, and you have so much power in the world. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I'm picturing the Hollywood agent, the rich people just losing connection, becoming disconnected with their, you know, and just lashing out. And then it doesn't come back to hurt them, but it came back to hurt Harvey Weinstein. You know, he fucked enough people over. True. And so it's a balance. Like, you know, you got to have strength, but you got to have kindness. Loving kindness and strength have to be in balance. If they're out
loving
of balance.
Loving kindness and strength.
You know, you can't have more of one than the other.
But what do you mean by strength, though?
The ability to, you know, stand up for yourself. The ability to cut the man's throat and paint on the wall with his blood. the ability
See,
to...
See, I don't agree with that at all. To cut a man's throat and paint
no,
it on
No, I
the
mean
wall with
metaphorically
blood.
The establishment. To be able to stand up to that. The establishment.
But what do you do? What I mean, I'm being well, serious because I feel like we are so overwhelmed, you know, by in America, you know, by greed and I don't know, by greed and just this personal entitlement, and you know, what do we do? What
well,
do you do?
I have a story. That
I think
can
you
share
can
with
only
you.
Go inward. I think you can only go inward and kind of come to a place where you rest in your heart and know that nothing can ultimately touch you.
This is
I think
terrible.
That's a
it's fucking depressing.
It's what?
Why? It's depressing. Nothing can touch. Oh, nothing can touch you. Nothing can get you. I thought you meant nothing can touch you inside, like your soul.
Oh,
nothing can reach you. I totally Chauncey Gardner'd that one, dude. That was what happened to me.
No,
with this
nothing
thing.
Can touch you because you're resting in love. You know what I mean?
Know,
like,
man.
Huh?
I don't know. I mean, I think you need to know how to stand up for yourself, but you got to know when to...
But what do you mean? You didn't answer that question.
Yeah.
You just gave a horrible not a horrible metaphor, but a very violent metaphor.
Yeah, like to know how to be... To know how to be violent when you have to, you know, emotionally, to know when to stand up for what you believe in, but also to know when to lay back and mm-hmm. let it be at peace because whatever you say is not going to change the people's minds around mm-hmm. you. So it's an intuition thing. That's my take on it. Like with me, with the born again, you know, the right wingers outside the, you know, the thing.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Well, what we talked about where I went to, this woman took me to the volunteer in front of the abortion clinic. You know, she just dragged me to this abortion.
Tell people what happened.
Yeah, a woman who I owed a favor, who was very kind to me, said, I need you to come with me to help me with something. And she dragged me out to Panorama City, way deep in the valley. I've got no car. And she mm-hmm. took me out to this abortion clinic where these evangelical people were holding signs saying, pray for, you know, come talk to us before you have your abortion. And to be fair, they weren't, they seemed like they were relatively nice people, but I, you know, I'm like, what am I gonna do? I had a moment of hostility where I was about to say to her, you know, you can't, I can't, mm-hmm. you can't do this to me. You know, this is not my politics are left. And there was a moment, and then there was a moment of, wait a minute.
So you, now wait. Just to get this straight, folks, Steve, who is a big lefty, was doing some volunteer / payback work to a friend, holding a sign pro-life sign.
Yeah, it said...
which I find, on the one hand, horrifying and hilarious.
It's fucking hilarious.
That you were doing this because you basically needed a ride.
No, I didn't.
You were like, you were deep in the valley.
Dude, you're totally changing the story. Yeah.
No, I thought
I couldn't get away. I couldn't get away. And the Uber ride would have been like $40. And I don't have that. And I couldn't get away from this. And she's Jewish, so I didn't know she was like in with these evangelicals. And she takes me there, and we're there, and I'm
folks,
like, this
do you
is,
see the horror is, that Steve lives? This is why when I say let's rest in a beautiful place in the heart and know that nothing can touch you, that he doesn't relate to that. That he goes, no, you have to slit someone's throat and paint with blood on the wall because he has a difficult time out there.
Well,
that sounds like a difficult day. Like if I wound up, like for me, a day is I get up, I have to take my dogs to the vet, I have a nice breakfast, and then I go to the gym, and then I do a podcast, and I have a couple of shows. But you wind up... in Panorama City, which sounds like it should be TV friendly, but you wind up in Panorama City holding a placard saying, you evil, evil people.
Okay, that's not what it said.
What it said?
It just said, pray that abortion will one day end. Pray that abortion will one day end. And then right. they had other signs that said,
come. In front of where? Where were you?
In front of Planned Parenthood. But not right on the street. On the street. Oh, this is a strip mall.
We're going to get a lot of calls because.
Okay,
this.
So wait. Oh, so I'm out there and I realize.
Aren't you
I'm
Steve
here,
Lally?
I'm stuck and I have to make the best of this. And I that's what my reaction was. I started laughing and I go, they don't know that I'm a lefty. I'm going to, I mean, I get to, but I get to, I've never been around these people. I get to actually like.
So what were they like?
So I'm standing out there with a guy who's about my age, you know, 40, and he starts talking about, you know, God's plan and, you know, looks like a normal guy. Starts talking about God's plan and everything. And then he starts talking, then another guy chimes in about the, you know, California and Illinois and New York are the most fucked up states in the country. And
in what
and,
way?
Exactly, because they're liberal. Because they're lefty states to them. And I said, I guess the Holy Spirit moved me. And I said, well, what about Michigan? You know, those Flint people, they can't drink the water in Michigan. And one of the guys goes, yeah, Nestle owns the fucking water. And another guy goes, yeah, fuck Nestle. These are right-wing people. And I just went, you know what? If I had come out here swinging and cut the man's throat and painted on the wall with his blood, I never would have heard that some right-wing guys are starting to distrust corporations. They're starting to distrust.
No, right-wing dispossessed people, right-wing working class people, they're getting screwed. They know it. They know it, don't they?
I don't think lefty people like know that they know it. I don't think people who share our politics know that they know.
Now you were talking about abortion, so this is a good time to one of our sponsors. Let me read this. This is one of our sponsors, Cream Condoms, and let me read this. As a sexual being, I value the comfort and fit of a condom that goes on like a smooth gelatinous paste and dries to the hardened texture of a taxidermied woodland creature. No condom in the world fits as well as Cream Condoms. By the way, I was just thinking, anybody listening to the podcast for the first time would go, what the fuck is going on with this podcast? I thought it was about how to fix radios. Like, imagine if someone like got steered here because they thought this was about fixing radios. But anyway, where other condoms cover the skin, Cream Condoms creates a subtle yet irreversible bond that guarantees a personal fit. And you want that in a condom. You know, you don't want to have an abortion. Steve is a great example of that because you wind up in front of Planned Parenthood. You don't want to be there. Anyway, less than 12% of people using Cream Condoms show side effects such as irritation, hopelessness, melting foreskin, screaming penis syndrome, and or classically responsible spluttering anus. Now, let me read that again. Now, this is a testimonial for Cream Condoms. Less than 12% of people using Cream Condoms show side effects such as irritation, hopelessness, melting foreskin, screaming penis syndrome, and or classically responsible spluttering anus. Only 12%, less than 12%. Tweet the hashtag Cream Condoms to be entered into a drawing to join Pep Talk's very own Steve Lolly. Win 1 month's supply of Cream Condoms. Win 1 month's supply of Cream Condoms and a trip to our labs in beautiful Boyle Heights between the whimsical abandoned crab shack and scenic open air horse crematorium. You have a lot of options in contraceptives. Let Cream Condoms be your first choice in 39% effective prophylactic devices. Hashtag Cream Condoms for your chance to win. Offer valid while supplies last. Thank you, Cream Condoms. Again, because our labs, by the way, or Cream Condoms labs that are in between the whimsical abandoned crab shack and scenic open air horse crematorium is a beautiful place. And Steve Lolly will be there. So please, you know. So anyway, wow.
Wait a minute.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I'd like to say being a pitch man for Cream Condoms is still better than telemarketing.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Thank you, Cream Condoms.
Yeah. So that is a wild story that you wound up in there. It, you know what that means to me? Like it is wild where life can take you. It really is. If you let it happen, you know, if you just kind of go with it. Now, there's a good thing and a bad thing about that. Like, you want to, you know, exert your will at a certain point. Like, you know, like maybe you should have asked your friend, like, hey, where are we going?
I did ask. No, you know? I did ask a couple of times.
We're not going to Planned Parenthood, are we? Like, you start to recognize.
I think the moral of the story is anytime anybody tells you, don't worry, I'm taking you there, it's a surprise.
Did
you
she
should
say
immediately
that?
Be suspicious, yeah.
Oh, well, I am.
Don't worry, yeah. You are?
Oh, well, yeah. If I get into a car and I don't know where I'm going, I get that a lot with Uber. Like I'm like, where are we going? Like
yeah,
imagine
but
a person.
An Uber driver.
But how hilarious would that be is if you get into an Uber and go, where are we going? And yeah. He goes, what do you mean, sir? You're the customer. And you go, well,
I don't remember.
I don't know where I want to go. Can you take me somewhere? A surprise? And he's like, whoa.
What if he's like an existential, like, philosophy major and he can move?
Now, I want to now play another voicemail.
Our third.
That we got. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Hey, Eddie, I was just wondering, are you completely elated that the collapse of America is just around the corner? Or are you somewhat perturbed, then elated? Thanks a lot, buddy.
So the question is, am I complete? And thank you, sir, for your call. I like your voice. It sounds familiar. Am I completely elated by the collapse of America or somewhat perturbed and then elated?
That guy is like, he's got your style down, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm actually, it's devastating to watch the collapse of America, right? Unless you have a good seat. And what I mean by good seat is from another country and watching it on TV. Do you know how many people are just going to rejoice in the collapse of this country that has been, you know,
Germans.
Watch the overconsumption? The Germans?
The Germans. I mean, you know.
Aren't we directly linked to their economy, though?
Yeah, I think everybody's now directly linked. They're the only solvent country in Europe, right? So,
here's an issue. But am I elated? No, I'm not. I'm not elated. You know, I just feel like there's a part of me that really feels that we are going into a bad. I mean, we're in it, obviously, but like. Will we, you know, it's going to take some time to come out of, you know, this, it's like a cancer that has hit America. You know what I mean?
I see the text.
Not a cancer, but it's just
we're sweating out a virus, dude.
No, I think it's like, well, maybe I, but it's, and we've talked about this before. It is the culmination of a lot of greed and a lot of, you know, years since 1980 and Bill Clinton took over, you know, and then all the Republicans and Clinton, didn't matter whether it was Democrat or Republican, but just the corporate takeover and the inexorable, you know, hollowing out of democratic institutions, meaning the judiciary. You know, it's a crime to be poor.
Consolidation of wealth. Mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah.
So one company buys another
company.
And
where is the democracy to stop that? Now, you know what's a great example? France right now. Macron, who is France's president. Is it president or prime minister?
You can say Frenchie.
Is it president or prime minister?
I think prime minister.
Prime minister in France. You may be wrong about that.
It's okay if I am.
It's true.
Whatever.
Yeah. But anyway,
you get the idea.
You know, he has gone after labor a bit, and they have a strong labor movement, and the French railway workers are going to do 3 months of random strikes. They are paralyzing
because
that
country. That's how they fucking roll.
But that's how they roll, right. And they have a real labor movement. But there is encouraging news here. Excuse me. There is encouraging news here. Finally, these brutalized teachers in the South have risen up. Have you followed that
story?
Yeah,
the teachers are striking.
In Oklahoma, in Virginia, West Virginia, was it? In Kentucky, teachers who have been just abused. And not funded, and schools not funded, and teachers underpaid, they're striking. And, you know, hopefully, and that's the hope for this country, but it's going to be met with resistance. But the hope is, and like the French, that labor, that people who work for a living, people, you know, more than 50% of the country that are struggling get together and see their similarities instead of their differences. But I want to get to another sponsor, and it's Velveeta.
Oh, I didn't get to say anything.
Oh, go ahead. Respond to that.
Oh, well, the idea that like the... Fucking, of course I had something to say and now it's gone. The idea that it's like the guy with the cell phone, the fucking cell phone in public. He goes into a public place with his cell phone, he puts it on fucking speakerphone, turns it all the way up, and nobody says anything. I hear this shit, I see this shit happen all the time. That is like a metaphor to me for capitalism in America.
Oh, he doesn't even say anything?
No, nobody goes, hey, sir, can you turn that, or go, hey, here's some headphones. Nobody stands up to this guy who's obviously bothering everybody, and that's what, like, corporatism is. Corporatism is this thing that goes on because nobody fucking does what France does. They don't get out in the streets and cause problems.
Well, the teachers are.
And Occupy Wall Street did.
Occupy Wall Street was met with big force.
Big force, but don't you think...
Police state. We live in a police state.
Basically. But aren't they supposed to keep us comfortable? Aren't they supposed to just keep us comfortable so we don't riot the establishment? Aren't they supposed to keep us
fed?
They
stopped doing that. They stopped throwing us crumbs. And they have the fucking iron fist out and the boot. And that's why I want to read this.
Okay,
Another one of our... Another one of our sponsors, Velveeta deodorant, and this is for kids, though. As a parent, why don't you read this
okay,
one?
Okay, yeah, great.
Why don't you read this? Steve is going to read this, you know, Velveeta
commercial. I asked him last week. I wanted to read the Velveeta spot.
Go ahead.
It's another. As a parent, which I'm not, I wonder, when is it the right time for my child to start using deodorant? What age? Luckily, there is Velveeta parental deodorant. That's right. Just like any pro athlete sweats when they exert energy, kids exert a lot of energy when they're growing. And children do most of their growing inside the womb. It's just plain science. Velveeta parental deodorant has a special attachment that helps direct its classic yellow foam into the most mysterious of feminine hiding places, the vagina. The vagina. Don't let your womb smell like a locker room. The child's foaming embryo will absorb the proper amount of Velveeta parental, and what does not get absorbed will eventually form into a crumbling powder and be naturally discarded over time. It's like a puzzle that solves itself with freshness. Get Velveeta parental deodorant, now available in Spring Fresh Cat Cheddar and Laundry Breeze Gorgonzola.
Now, what was that about the vagina? That sounded horrible. Was it okay?
I don't know if it said vagina. I read it as vagina, but I think there was an extra A in it. Maybe just to fuck with me.
Let's see. Velveeta. Yes, I know.
Is it a typo?
The vagina. Just like...
It's a typo.
Velveeta parental deodorant has a special attachment that helps direct its classic yellow foam into the most mysterious of feminine hiding places, the vagina. Don't let your womb smell like a locker room. I say, yeah, it is vagina. Anyway, Velveeta Parental is a terrific product. I mean, Spring Fresh Cheddar and Laundry Breeze Gorgonzola, you can't beat it.
We wouldn't endorse products we don't use, so.
Let's play the last message we got. Here we go.
Oh, we got another one?
Hi, Eddie. I was just wondering, as a sensitive person, how you deal with someone that's negative in your life. Do you become overly compassionate and try to find out the reason that they're upset and try to win them over? Or do you just ignore them? I was just wondering how you deal with it. Thank you for all the laughs, and I really appreciate you and your podcast. Take care. Bye, Eddie.
Oh, thank you so much. That is a great question. How do you deal with someone negative in your life? Now, I want to, and thank you for that question, and thank you for the kind words, but I want to just talk about Steve as a negative person in my life, and I put him on the podcast. That's how I dealt with him.
Knew that joke
is to
was
put,
coming.
Did you know that was coming?
I knew that joke.
Is to put him right next to me. Is to take the negative person and make him do a podcast. guess with you. Oh, just slit his throat and paint a wall in blood. You see what I'm dealing with? No. What do you do with someone? That is a good question. That's a heartfelt good question. What do you do if someone is negative in your life? Do you try to understand them and help them, or do you cut them out of your life? This is what I think about that. I think at first, if they are a person that's in your life that, you know, you've had a long relationship with, or there was a, you know, a kernel of friendship, you do try to find out what's going on, but you try to be helpful and compassionate, but that only lasts so long, though. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't spend, like, in other words, if, you know, you find out what's going on with that person, and you feel for them and you kind of are there for them, and then they continue to be negative, like maybe there's a period where they're not negative and then they're negative again, I think everybody has their breaking point of how compassionate you are with a negative person. You know, I mean, sometimes if you're working with someone and they're negative, how do you get away from them?
Right.
You know, and how do you deal with them? Like, you would throw up a wall. You would just be, slit your throat, paint the wall with blood. I don't know. But how do you deal with a person like that who's in your family?
How invested are you with this person? Is it your neighbor? Is it your boss? Is it your loved one? I mean, you got to kind of, you got to kind of deal with it based on the person, you know. If it's your family, fuck, you're kind of stuck with them, Shawshank Prison, you know. But,
Well, are you stuck with them?
Kinda. Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're not going to go away. They're your family. I mean, you're going to see them when you see your other family members a couple times a year, right?
But then you have to be a person, and this is hard to do. I have always had trouble doing this. You have to be a person with strong boundaries, you know, even if they are family, and be like, look, you know, I can only, you know, deal with it. I can only deal with you, not even saying that, but you kind of just let them know that you'll only be able to deal with them so far. And you say, I got to go. I got to do, you know, I'm doing my own thing. Do you know what I mean?
Velvet covered iron hand. Have you heard that term? Velvet covered iron hand?
I think so. Just what does it mean?
Really gracefully and nicely and kindly, but firmly moving them in the direction you want to move them in, or moving yourself in the direction you want to move yourself in, not, you know, because when you engage like violently, even emotionally violently, you feed some dark stuff. You know, I really believe so.
Well, that's a great opening for our last sponsor, Rue Cheese and Brown Label Produce. Our sponsor, Rue Cheese, and they are the best cheese. The cheese that is made from kangaroo milk is back. They are joining with Brown Label, the organic grocery delivery company that delivers discounted produce straight to your door. You know, grocery stores don't accept foods with blemishes, discoloration, or odd shapes. This food is perfectly good, but it is visually less appealing. Brown Label Brown Label gets these foods at a tremendous discount by adhering to strict libertarian small government policies. They ignore sell-by dates, food safety regulations, and those annoying trade restrictions that other liberal crybaby companies adhere to. Keep your government out of my pantry, am I right? Brown Label founder Fletch Brown says, and it's good that Brown Label's named after a guy named Brown. Brown Label founder Fletch Brown says, quote, I just said it was my religion and the government got off my dick. And the food, I don't eat veggies because I'm not a pussy. Order Brown Label today and save on your stockpile grocery costs before big government comes for your guns.
All right. Brown labor organizer Fletcher Brown says, get my fucking ad right. And he's sponsoring Eddie's one-man show. We don't want to forget about that. Eddie's going to be opening up for Carly Simon off Cape Cod Sting off the Amalfi Coast. Seriously, though, you have a one-man show.
I do have a one-man show. And I will talk about that. I mean, actually, I am. I am. You know, you could see my one man show in the end. In the end of days is the name of the show. In the end of days, and it's April 12th, which is a Thursday, at 8 o'clock at the Lyric Hyperion Theater and Cafe, and that's in Silver Lake at Lyric and Hyperion. Oddly enough, but in the end days, I've been rehearsing that with Sean Conroy, brilliant director, and. It's been a wild experience. I'm going to do seven characters. If you're out here in Los Angeles, April 12th, I'm going to do seven characters, including a motivational speaker. Doing a lot of misspeaking tonight. Today
it's working.
Doing a motivational speaker after the apocalypse. Like there's six people left on the planet, and I'm like saying, "Look, this apocalypse is not a time to give up on your goals." That's just a teaser. Of the show, and it's going to be like seven kind of crazy characters. So if you're in LA, April 12th, see me in the end of days at the Lyric Hyperion Theater.
Right.
Yeah. And I've been rehearsing that, and I've been going crazy rehearsing everything, like rehearsing, doing shows at the Comedy Store tonight. I'm at the Comedy Store. I'm in the main room. David Spade, Mark Maron, like big hitters, Neil Brennan, heavy hitters. And I get up there, and I'll tell you, it's been really good for me doing the Comedy Store because there's so many heavy hitters. And it's just good for me to not...
Have to be in that league, maybe.
To have to be in that league. And, you know, like you can't doubt yourself. And maybe that's what you were talking about with strength. Like,
right.
Like self-doubt is the thing we battle with all the time, you know? Self-doubt, it's such a demon, if I could use that word. Self-doubt is such a demon. And you have to believe in yourself, you know, in order to produce things in this life, in order to get along in this life, and even to deal with life's crap that is thrown right. at you every day, you have to believe in yourself.
Well, yeah, self-doubt can parade as sensitivity, but it's just at some point.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you think I'm sensitive, I'm self-conscious, I'm conscious of the other people around me, but really I'm just a neurotic fucking mess, and this is an abyss I'm not going to get out of. And it's good to have certainty, you know, to be certain of stuff.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about. I don't
Is that what you mean by self-doubt? Am I completely?
I don't know. Well, first of all, I react against, you know, it's good to have certainty because I really don't think that we can be certain about much. You know, that I think it's good to have a strong vulnerability. That's how I would like to put it.
But
like the funniest people are the most, to me, the most vulnerable. And they turn that vulnerability into absurdity because they can actually live with their vulnerability. They can be vulnerable in a tough world and let out all the most neurotic people are the funniest. Like I find Richard Lewis to be he's like the classic neurotic.
Totally.
Larry David. Classic neurotic. Woody Allen. These are neurotic madmen who have taken that vulnerability.
Yeah.
So certainty, I would say, is not the way to go.
No, but when you're in that environment with those comics at the Comedy Store.
I don't have any certainty.
No?
I'm backstage going, fuck, I got to follow David Spade, who just killed.
What about when you had to introduce David Spade?
That was funny. I introduced David Spade, and I just said, "You guys, are you ready?" I said, "Are you ready for a big time celebrity? You guys know him. You love him, David Spade." And as he walked by me on the stage, he goes, "You didn't know one of my credits?" And he was kidding. He's a nice guy, but it was really funny that I didn't get one credit for David Spade. At the Comedy Store, you have to MC. Like when you finish your set, you bring on the next. It's
right.
a tag team MC,
right.
And I hate it because I don't know.
It's the same thing at the Ice House.
I'm so self-absorbed. That's another thing about being a tremendous.
They can't afford an MC at the Ice House. Comedy Store anymore.
Well,
it is the end of times.
Yeah. I don't know. No, they like doing it that way. I guess an MC would be like, that would be a lot. You know why? Because they have so many comics on.
Right.
That an MC would be exhausted.
Right.
And that would be such a thankless gig because you'd have to run after five.
No, you don't do any time. You just.
That, right, how thankless. Just you've off. Done MC
oh,
work.
Fucking horror. I hate it. I hate
you've
it.
You've done MC work it. Over there at Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. That was a tag team endeavor, by the way.
Oh, God, the life you live.
A couple of people ended up pregnant.
The life you live. All right, so I just want to, that's our show for today. I want to thanks our sponsors, Rue Cheese, Velveeta Full Body. Thanks to our team, All Things Comedy, engineers Aaron Brungart and Emma Erdbrink. Producer Matt Rasamoto.
He's great.
Who writes the commercials. You can see my one-man show, In the End of Days, April 12th at the Lyric Hyperion. Thursday night. You can see me live at the Whitewater Tavern, April 20th in Little Rock. I'm going to be in Little Rock, Arkansas, April 20th, in between two bands, great bands, Paranoid Style and Wussy. And then I'm at the Comedy Store. I'm randomly at Flappers and the Improv here in Hollywood. Check out Stephen Lolly. Steve, you have a plug this week.
Yes, I'm at the Ice House in Pasadena. Oldest comedy club in Southern California, main room, 10 p.m., dirty, down and dirty show. This Saturday night, April, whatever the fuck that is, something Saturday.
Look, he's
night.
Already dirty by going whatever the fuck, so you could see. We're both on Twitter. I'm at Eddie Pepitone. Steve is at Lolly Comedy. Hey, if you have questions for us that we can answer on the show or just want to talk, you can reach us at that voicemail, which is 424-262-0904. 424-262-0904. You want to leave a message, or you can email me at epepitone, E-P-E-P-I-T-O-N-E, at sbcglobal.net. It's an old email. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening to Pep Talks.